evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, September 24, 2015. Pope Francis addresses the houses of the U.S. legislature, urging them to care for refugees and immigrants.
Our world is facing a refugee crisis of a magnitude not seen since the Second World War. This presents us with great challenges and many hard decisions.
And presidential spokesman Ateny Wek-Ateny says Ugandan troops will pull out of South Sudan next week.
Within the next few days, they will start to withdraw from South Sudan. As of 28th of September until the 10th of October, the last Ugandan soldiers will be out of South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Pope Francis gave a historic speech to both houses of the U.S. legislature today. The leader of the world's 1.2 billion Catholics had a message of peace, hope, and charity for ordinary Americans.
I would like to take this opportunity to dialogue with the many thousands of men and women who strive each day to do a honest day's work, to bring home the daily bread, to save money, and one step at a time to build a better life for their families.
He invoked America's icon, including Abraham Lincoln, who was president when the United States was torn apart by civil war in the 1860s, and civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Francis called Lincoln a guardian of liberty who labored tirelessly so that the United States might have a new birth of freedom. He said, building a future of freedom requires love of the common good and a spirit of solidarity, something he said is increasingly hard to find in today's world.
All of us are quite aware of and deeply worried by the disturbing social and political situation of the world today. Our world is increasingly a place of violent conflict, hatred, and brutal atrocities, committed even in the name of God and of religion. We know that no religion is immune from forms of individual delusion or ideological extremism.
Francis called for Americans to reject the simplistic view that the world is divided into clear-cut sides, one good and one evil.
Our response must instead be one of hope and healing, of peace and justice. We are asked to assume the courage and the intelligence to resolve today's many geopolitical and economic crises, even in the developed world, the effects of unjust structures and actions are all too apparent. Our efforts must aim at restoring hope, righting wrongs, maintaining commitments, and thus promoting the well-being of individuals amongst peoples.
The pontiff said the world continues to be inspired by the message of U.S. civil rights leader Martin Luther King and his dream of full civil and political rights for African Americans. He said America continues to be, for many, a land of dreams, and urged the people of the United States and the country's leaders not to fear foreigners, including the tens of thousands of refugees who are fleeing violence and poverty.
We must not be taken aback by the numbers, but rather view them as persons, seeing their faces and listening to their stories, trying to respond as best we can to their situation, to respond in a way which is always human, just, and fraternal. We need to avoid a common temptation now awaits to discard whatever proves troublesome. Let us remember the golden rule: do unto others as you will have them do unto you.
The Pope also called for action to protect the planet.
I call for a courageous and responsible effort to redirect our steps and to avert the most serious effects of the environmental deterioration caused by human activity. I'm convinced that we can make a difference. I'm sure.
Hundreds of lawmakers and their guests were packed into the chambers of the Houses of Representatives for the Pope's speech, and outside, tens of thousands of people watched on giant screens. The Pope came out onto the balcony of the Capitol building after his speech, drawing a huge cheer and cries of Viva la Papa from the crowd. Many South Sudanese in the Washington area say they are delighted that Pope Francis is talking about issues that are close to their hearts during his visit to the United States. But some say they would like the pontiff to even go further and send a message directly to the people, and particularly the leaders of South Sudan. Ayen Bior spoke to members of the diaspora about the papal visit and has this report.
Esterina Peter Bilal is originally from eastern Equatoria, but now lives in the northeastern state of Connecticut. Bilal is a practicing Roman Catholic. She says she is proud of the work that Pope Francis is doing, particularly his message about peace. She says she wishes the Pope would send a strong message directly to the people of South Sudan.
As a Catholic, I'm expecting him to say something about South Sudanese because we need peace, really. The Catholics are sending the message of peace all the time. But I don't see a lot of them saying something about South Sudan civil war going on now.
Bilal says she believes Pope Francis could convince the leaders of South Sudan to settle their differences and agree to peace and stability.
If he has influence in American politics and he has influence in Cuba, he can have the same to South Sudanese people. Now South Sudanese is like they don't have faith. They don't even think about anything. They don't have humanity, just war. They have no dialogue with each other. They have no saying. They don't forgive each other.
Others are less positive about the papal visit. Duda Ketch of Richmond, Virginia, is also Roman Catholic. He says the Pope has spoken too little about South Sudan and the many issues the country faces.
Pope has a lot of power, but what I'm skeptic is that I don't know if he knew lots of sufferings that people are suffering inside South Sudan. It's the war has even made it worse, and I don't know if the world leaders are seeing that, including Pope. As a Catholic, I wish world can do more than that.
Pope Francis is due to visit three of South Sudan's neighbors, Kenya, Uganda, and the Central African Republic, in late November. Akech also says he does not like that the Pope has spoken out on issues that, Akech says, go against the morals of the Catholic Church.
The other thing is when he embraced things like gay things, it's really I think that part has disappointed me. I thought Pope Francis should have been different with Obama, to stick with the principle of Catholic, not gay marriage things.
But Bilal says the Pope is a powerful ambassador for peace and forgiveness. She says so far, all the proposed solutions to South Sudan's problems have been political. But how well have they worked? Bilal says she believes that South Sudan needs a different kind of solution to its problems. Bilal says if the church got involved in the peace and reconciliation process in South Sudan, she and many others like her might be able to return to the country of their birth.
We're here. We don't want to stay here. For me, I really want to go home. If the Pope can say something about South Sudan, and if they can send a lot of preachers, missionaries, to go teach people religion, maybe people can start learning to forgive each other. That will be much better.
After addressing the two houses of the U.S. legislature, Pope Francis will visit St. Patrick's Catholic Church and Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Washington. At Catholic Charities, St. Maria's Meals will serve lunch to scores of poor and homeless people from the Washington area. The pontiff will bless their food as he walks through. The Pope will travel to New York tomorrow and will conclude his U.S. visit on Sunday in Philadelphia. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
While in Saudi Arabia, Saudi officials are saying that around 500 pilgrims died and more than 400 are wounded Thursday in a stampede on the route leading to the ceremonial stoning of the devil. Witnesses say the stampede took place on a narrow street in the area of Mina. Edward Iranian has more from Cairo.
Amateur video showed a crowd of hundreds of pilgrims being bowled over and crushed in a stampede on a narrow road alongside rows of tents housing visitors to the annual Hajj. Health Minister Khalid Fala told journalists the stampede occurred when pilgrims tried to go against the crowd along a narrow road, ignoring time restrictions for movement in each direction. He vowed that a quick investigation would take place to assess what happened. Saudi TV reported that the governor of Mecca, Prince Khalid Al Faisal, had gone to the site of the stampede to oversee rescue operations. The prince told the TV that many African pilgrims were caught in the crush. The stampede took place as thousands of pilgrims headed to the ritual stoning of the devil ceremony inside Mecca. A survivor of the stampede explained that he was caught in an unusually heavy crowd and that it became impossible to move in either direction. He says that people were crushed to death in front of him, but that he was lucky and was taken to the hospital. In a final ritual Thursday, the Imam of Mecca's Grand Mosque told the throngs of pilgrims gathered inside the colossal structure to unite and avoid dissension and ungodly behavior. Most pilgrims will sacrifice an animal in a symbolic gesture to conclude their participation in the event. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
South Sudan says foreign troops that were deployed to the country during the 20-month conflict will begin to withdraw in the next few days. Army spokesman Colonel Philip Aguer says the first foreign troops to pull out will be the Ugandan People's Defense Force, or UPDF. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu reports from the capital, Juba.
The withdrawal of foreign forces is one of the terms of the peace agreement that President Kiir signed last month in Juba. Aguer says government negotiators hammered out the details of the pullout at workshops in the Ethiopian capital last week.
That is what our people signed in Addis Ababa with the ceasefire and security arrangement. It includes the withdrawal of the UPDF from South Sudan, and that will happen according to the planned schedule.
Presidential spokesman Atenywek Ateny says Uganda will begin pulling out its troops.
Within the next few days, they will start to withdraw, to withdraw from South Sudan as of 28th of September until the 10th of October. The last Ugandan soldiers will be out of South Sudan, except those soldiers in Western Equatoria who are actually based there in pursuit of the LRA.
Under the terms of the peace deal, all foreign forces allied to the government and the armed opposition led by Riek Machar must be withdrawn from South Sudan within 45 days of the signing of the agreement. The agreement makes an exception for foreign troops who were already in South Sudan before the country erupted in conflict on December 15, 2013. Machar signed the peace deal on August 17 and President Kiir signed on August 26. 45 days from August 26 is October 10th. The peace deal also calls for non-state security actors to be withdrawn from South Sudan. It names several Sudan-based rebel groups, including the SPLM North and GEM. The agreement says those and other non-state security actors must be disarmed, demobilized, and repatriated within 90 days of the signing of the peace deal. Attorney says the government has not been fighting with any non-state security actors.
South Sudan has no reason as a sovereign country to be allying with rebels forces. The rebels ally with other rebels, and so we don't have the presence of those forces, apart from the Ugandan forces that we have given timetable to leave.
South Sudanese Information Minister Michael Makwe says there might be a delay in pulling out foreign forces because Machar's opposition group did not sign the agreement that was reached at the security workshops in Addis Ababa last week.
They will withdraw when this document of the workshop becomes operational. So as soon as the rebels sign it, then all these dates and time frames which have been set in this, including the containment areas, the assembly areas, the withdrawal routes, and all these things. All these details are in this document the rebels refuse to sign.
Makwe says the failure of the rebels to sign the document and the fact that the security workshops were held a week later than they were supposed to are slowing down the government's efforts to fully implement the peace agreement, including the clauses about withdrawing foreign forces. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, rights groups want African Union to set up hybrid courts in South Sudan. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you handle friends that take advantage of you?
Friends that take advantage of me, there are quite a number, but I keep it at a friendly basis. I don't push them away quite often. But I try to explain to them in a friendly way. And when someone really crosses the boundaries, sometimes I get tough, you know.
I don't allow people to take advantage of me because I believe that however people treat you is how you allow them to.
First, you have to identify them. Then you have to ask yourself questions. Am I also taking advantage of him? So you have to be a bit selfish about yourself and know when you want a relationship to stop. When do you think this guy is taking advantage of me, but have I gotten everything I want from him?
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Rights groups are calling on the African Union to quickly set up a hybrid court for South Sudan. They are also calling on the African Union to finally make public a report into crimes committed during South Sudan's 20-month conflict. For VOA News, Charlton Doki reports from Juba.
In a letter sent to AU chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, South Sudanese and international rights groups are calling on the continental body to use a special meeting on South Sudan that's due to be held on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly debate to press for the establishment of the proposed court. Sky Wheeler, a researcher with Human Rights Watch, says rights groups are happy to see that the peace deal for South Sudan included a clause calling for a hybrid court to be set up to try those charged with crimes committed during South Sudan's conflict. The peace agreement says the independent court would be established by the African Union Commission and would investigate and try individuals accused of committing crimes during South Sudan's 20-month conflict.
But it's really important important that this court get established as soon as possible so that investigations can begin into what the crimes that have been committed over the past years during this terrible conflict can be investigated, and then those who are responsible prosecuted for these crimes.
The peace deal says most of the judges on the proposed court will come from other African countries, not South Sudan. The court will have jurisdiction over crimes including genocide and crimes against humanity. Wheeler says it's important that the African Union ensure that investigations into crimes committed during the conflict start soon. Otherwise, she warns, momentum will be lost. In their letter to Zuma, the rights groups are also calling on the AU to publish the report on the Commission of Inquiry in South Sudan. The report was supposed to be made public at an AU summit in January. Wheeler says South Sudanese have waited for too long for the report to be released.
The report is very important. It will really provide information about what happened. It will be an important stimulant for accountability, we hope, for some of the atrocity crimes that have been committed in this conflict.
The contents of the report were shared with the government delegation by the AU Commission at peace talks in June. Machar's opposition saw the report several weeks later, but its contents have not been released to the public. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
South Sudanese Vice President James Wanyika arrived in New York yesterday with a large delegation to attend the UN General Assembly. Wanyika is scheduled to address the United Nations 70th General Assembly on Thursday, October 1st. President Kiir is not attending the annual UN meeting. Rebel leader Riek Machar is also expected to arrive in New York on Friday this week. Machar and President Kiir were invited by United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to attend a special meeting on South Sudan on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. The aim of the meeting is to drum up international support for the peace deal that Mr. Kiir and Machar signed last month. Earlier, we heard Pope Francis talk about the importance of caring for the environment and for the poor. South Sudan has its own environmental and health problems that are often driven by poverty. Jacob Achek has this report for VOA from a garbage dump near the Jonglei state capital Bor, where impoverished residents sometimes look for food.
Official in Bor says waste disposal has become a problem because the population of the Jonglei state capital has increased, and with it has come an increase in demand for food and other essential materials. They say that has led to more waste being generated by households and businesses. That waste has to be disposed of somewhere, and the town authority designated a site in the Makwach area, 8 kilometers from Bo town, for that purpose. The site has 3 big landfills, one for liquid waste or sewage, and the other 2 for solid waste. But sometimes garbage is dumped outside the landfills, and the site is not fenced in, and many locals go to the dumps to look for items that they can repurpose and reuse. Some like charcoal seller Matata Lagufri even collects food from the landfills. Lagu says today he found vegetables at the dumps. They are free, and he says if they look good, he will take them. He says the landfill is closer to where he lived than the market, and in any case, he does not have money to buy things at the market. Jacob Paj Alier is the director of public health in Bo town. He warned that decaying food and other waste products attract household pests and carry diseases. Alier warned that any food collected from the dumps pose danger to the people who eat it.
We don't know. Some people who are going to pour garbage outside the hole. But we mean to pour them in the hole so that our community may not take something in, because they are harmful to our people. Because something like onion, like cabbages, like bananas, which are rotten, whenever you eat, he may give him some sickness, or he may cause him to die.
35-year-old Ayun Chol says She too often collects items from the landfills. Today, she said she is looking for plastic sheet. She planned to use them to cover her sachet ropes and the firewood she used to cook. But she says she doesn't go as far as Lago. She says she would not consider eating food she finds at the dumping because the plastic smells bad. Area youth leader James Makurbol says it was wrong for the town authority to build a garbage dam so closer to a residential area. He said he fears residents who reuse items and consume food collected from the garbage site could be putting their health at risk. Makur says the dam should be relocated to a place that is far from children and women. He said that if anyone fell ill because they have looked for food or other item at the landfill, the responsibility will lie with those who put the garbage site near people's dwellings to begin with. Board public health officials earlier says the town authority plan to build a fence around the dams to keep people out, but it did not say when that might happen. I'm Jacob Achek reporting for BOA from Bor.
To recap today's top stories on South Sudan in Focus, Pope Francis calls in a historic speech to both houses of the U.S. legislature for Americans to welcome refugees, to protect the environment, and to end violence around the world. Members of South Sudan diaspora urge the pontiff to take his message of hope and solidarity directly to the leaders and the people of South Sudan. At least 500 people are killed in a stampede at the annual Hajj pilgrimage in Mecca. And South Sudanese officials say foreign forces who were deployed in the country during the conflict will begin pulling out of the country next few days. The first troops to withdraw will be the Ugandan People's Defense Force, a spokesman for the presidency says. And that's it for our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Salah by Kebaz featuring Trisha C.
Kebaz and Trisha C. End of story. Yeah. Let's pray.
عشان شيطان يجري برا من بلدنا أبشيد ناس اللي نو إيمان قال نحنا ممكن نعيش سوا عشان ربا بلدنا Yeah, brother, you should never bother. Anything is possible, salam is possible. No, no more gunshots in the night. No, no more fights, only likes. I shall kill a wallet sharp, K-Boss, massive mic. Fibidaya, I know young boy, good now, our vision. K-Blue, AKG, my man, and the local is fire. Now me and Trisha say, pray. Jake Terror, pray. My man Evans, pray.
We've been listening to Kebaz and Trisha C with the song Salah. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for joining us. And remember to be with us tomorrow in the evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.